Welcome everyone joining us here tonight on the Kings County Radio Club Technical Question and Answer Net. I am Roy, AC2GS. I will be your net control operator for this informal net. I will be your host, and Milan KG2C will be your co-host on this exploration into amateur radio technology. The purpose of this net is to provide a platform for discussion and to offer our answers as well as promote a conversation among all participants of this net. The club maintains an archive of these technical nets on its web pages. Also, we offer original articles and reviews on many topics covered during these technical nets. We also publish technical puzzles for our participants to ponder and as a starting off point to discuss important technical concepts. Tonight's TechNet puzzle is posted on our club website. The link can be found on the front page of our website in orange colored type, but if you would like a simple URL to find it, you can just type puzzle.kc2rc.com. Also, we will be offering a streaming service for those who cannot receive our repeater signal. Just point your browser to stream.kc2rc.com. This net is scheduled for the second and fourth Wednesday of each month. All of this information can also be found on our club website, www.kc2rc.com. Members as well as non-members are welcome to participate, although we do appreciate it when our fellow hams join our club. By the way, an application is available on our website. No question is too simple. No question is dumb. All wisdom begins with the asking of questions. If you have a question, it deserves to be answered. Our format tonight will be to ask for participants to check in only. If they have questions or comments for this net, please give us your name, your call sign, and whether you have a question or a comment. The net will then address each question in order. I will try my best to provide an answer, and Milan KG2C will join in. If any other member listener has any further facts or opinions, they will be free to break in with the word comment and, when recognized, offer their knowledge or experiences to us all. If anyone has any suggestions for future topics of interest, please let us know here or use our email address, tech@kc2rc.com. And now I would like to introduce my co-host for this net, Milan KG2C. Good evening, Milan.
Good evening, Roy. This is Kilo Golf 2 Charlie. Very happy to be here. I was worried I might be a little bit late tonight, but I managed to make it almost in time. And I'm looking forward to hearing everyone's questions and also comments on other people's questions and follow-up discussions. Back to you, Roy, from Kilo Golf 2 Charlie.
Very good. I'm glad you were able to attend on time. So we open this edition of the Technical Net. If anyone would like to either ask a question or make a comment or observation, please give me your call sign and your first name.
Net Control. Kilo Delta 2, Mike Delta Victor, Eugene, with a question.
Very good. Eugene, you're on the list. Anyone else with a question or a comment tonight? Okay, perhaps some people will come a little bit late. So, Eugene, you're up first. What's your question tonight?
Good evening, Roy, and everybody on the net. This is KD2MDV. Roy, I have a question. When setting up a horizontal dipole, I know it's supposed to be half wavelength, at least, from the ground. Now, what are the consequences of setting it to less than half wave, let's say quarter wavelength or half or an eighth of a wavelength from the ground? Does it change the radiating pattern? Does it just kill the signal? Just what are the consequences of going less than half wavelength of the ground? KD2MDV, back to Roy.
Okay, it pretty much unfortunately does both. What happens is if you bring it lower than a half a wavelength away, you'll get an increased amount of ground coupling and ground loss. So that's the signal being eaten up by the ground. And in addition, it will change the propagation angle in such a way that it will take on the qualities very much of a near vertical incident sky wave. In other words, instead of spreading out hopefully partially to the horizon and availing itself of ionospheric propagation, it will just jump all the way up and, depending upon the frequency, either bounce back locally or just zoom through into outer space. So it's a little bit of both. You get less efficiency of your horizontal half-wave dipole the lower down to the earth you go, and it also becomes a much more local antenna for you.
Okay, last time when the I checked in with Ali and Barry on 10-meter net, Saturday we were in Canarsie Piers, and we had our G5RV Junior, which is 40 feet, about, I'd say, 6 feet off the ground, which is approximately 2 meters. And I think N2GOT was able to copy us, and I guess that was a perfect example for it.
It could be. I mean, the problem, unfortunately, with the G5RV is it's a very, very complicated, complex multimodal antenna design. Depending upon whether it's a G5RV senior versus a G5RV junior, in one mode, it's a half-wave dipole. And other modes, it uses the open wire, sometimes as an additional antenna array to radiate. In other cases, it acts as a stub to do impedance tuning. So it's a much more complicated design than a simple half-wave dipole is. But you know, in one mode, it operates as a simple dipole. But all the others, it's a much more complicated phenomenon.
Thank you so much for the answer, Roy. Now, another scenario, if you're more than half wavelength off the ground, does that affect at all, or it still acts as the same half wavelength off the ground?
Well, it's a case of, higher is usually a bit better. If you get it below a half wavelength, it really undermines your distance transmission. But all things being equal, if you could raise up an antenna to higher than a half wavelength, it usually is beneficial. It clears the local obstructions and gives you a better takeoff angle and a better chance at the horizon. So higher usually is better. It becomes incredibly better when you get up to the UHF and VHF, where it's a point-to-point contact, and your highest point is just easier to reach all the other places nearby on the surface of the Earth and such. Higher is better. There are some antennas that kind of don't work quite that way, and they're kind of magic. Magnetic loops very often will be specced for only something like 10 to 15 feet off of the ground, and raising them up higher doesn't really get you much more. But that's a rather special case.
Gotcha. Thank you so much for the answer, Roy. I really appreciate it. AC2GS, Katie, to MDV.
Okay, very good, Eugene. Is there anyone else out there with any questions, or does anyone want to comment on this discussion of near-vertical incident sky waves or dipoles placed too close to the ground?
Comment, AC2AE.
Yes, Joe, comment.
Good evening, Roy. How's everything going? And good evening to the group out here tonight. I am actually one of those people that have my antenna high above the radiating pattern. For 80 meters, I pretty much cover it. I pretty much have it just about 66 feet, maybe a little bit higher than that. But the lower frequencies, or I should say the higher frequencies, go into like 20 meters, 40 meters, and 17, the antenna does work great being at that height, even though it is much higher than what it should be. But I do notice that on 10 meters, I do suffer a little bit on the receiving part of it. So I'm not receiving as well as I should be. I don't know if that helps or anything, but those are just some of the things that I've noticed with the DX. It's the DXCC. What is it? God, I can't remember the make of the antenna. Give me a hand, Roy. It's the same one that you've got. Back over to you.
Yeah, it's the Alpha Delta. It's a fan dipole. It's three elements, and the 40 and 80 are combined on the longest one with loading inductors at the near the end of the longest segment.
I can never remember the Alpha Delta part of that antenna. It drives me nuts. But those are the results that I have. But you know what? This I had to take my antennas down, but in about two and a half, three more weeks, I should be putting them back up. I am putting them. I am putting my HF antenna in a different configuration. I did have it spread out across the roof, but this time I'm going to put it more in an inverted V type of situation to see what difference I'm going to have. And we'll see how that goes. So, all right, back over to the net, and I'll be listening.
Okay, very good, Joe. Thank you very much. So this is Alpha Charlie 2 Gulf Sierra. Does anyone else have any comments about near vertical incident skywaves, fan dipoles, dipoles that are too close to the ground, or even G5RVs?
Kilo Golf 2, Charlie.
Hey, Joe in Staten Island.
Joe and Malen doubled, so first Malen, I guess then Joe.
All right, thank you, Roy. Just wanted to mention that sometimes people do want the pattern of a near vertical incident skywave antenna, especially if they're doing local nets with local people, and they're not interested in getting DX and things like that. That's all I wanted to add, Kilo Golf 2 Charlie, back to net.
Okay, very good. Joe, you wanted to say something.
Yeah, Roy, thank you. Yeah, I own three G5RVs. I have two minis, which are the 25.5-foot antennas, and the senior, which is the 102-foot antenna. And I had the minis set up oriented north and south and east and west, and they were fantastic. I had Caribbean and European contacts with them, and two contacts on the west coast in San Francisco and San Diego. And on my G5RV Senior, the 102-foot job that I folded into a triangle, I made a contact on 160, about 250 miles away. And on that 20 and 40, I made contacts in Europe with that thing too. I'll drop. And I've had nothing but good luck with these antennas. And they were all seriously compromised. All three antennas, I can only get them at a height of about 23 feet above ground. But they still perform beautifully. So KC2, WTA, back to net.
Very good, Joe. Thank you very much. Well, you know, that's the strange thing I found with G5RVs. There are some people who love G5RVs. They work beautifully for them. Others, not so much. I've kind of grown with the suspicion that how you set it up, what's close to what else, you know, if it, a lot of times, especially when it comes to the the twin wire feeds, people crumple it up because G5RVs tend to have a very long length of twin feed, and it really doesn't work well if you crumple up the bottom of it. And so it's very positionally sensitive, I have found, personally.
Yeah, I'm fortunate. I have a backyard that's about 50 by 55 feet, and I generally kept it open and put outbuildings around the edges and plantings around the edges, and so the antenna is basically in the clear, and the I think the ladder line is 34.5 feet long, and it's just worked out beautiful that it comes down from the apex of the triangle and lands on the handrail of my my deck. And I have a cat here who wants the microphone cord. He loves microphone cords and telephone cords. But that's what my setup is like here. KC2 WTA.
Okay, very good, Joe. I'm glad it's working for you. Again, I've known people who have a very cavalier attitude towards G5RVs. I knew a guy who wanted to put up a full-size G5RV on another guy's 50-foot roof, and his attitude was, well, we'll just kind of let it fall on the sides, and it'll be okay. And I don't think he ever went for it, the other guy, but I would find it hard to believe. You got to kind of respect the specs of things like G5RVs. If you compromise a compromised antenna, it's going to be not a good thing. But I'm glad to hear that yours is working so well. You're giving it a lot of space, which they like, and so great news. Anyone else with any comments or questions on this subject tonight? Okay, so we will ask if there are any questions or comments of any nature, seeing that this is a technical net. Give me your call sign and your first name and your question or comment. Please say again, there's a bit of noise in the background.
Kilo Delta 2 Oscar Victor Mike, can you copy me, Roy?
Yes, I can. How are you this fine night?
Okay, great, great. Good night, Roy there and everyone. I have a question, Roy, about low noise amplifiers to be used on SDR to amplify the greater signal. What do you think about it? Is it something recommended to use, or you're against it? What is your view and all the listeners' view about it? What's your opinion? KD2OVM.
Well, Axel, I think a good quality low noise preamplifier can be a very, very useful device. You have to sort of know when to use it and when not to use it, though. There are bands that favor using preamps. The higher frequency bands have more benefit to that than the lower frequency bands, because in the upper bands, most of the noise is internal to the electronics, and so if you boost the outside signal, it doesn't have that much noise, and you improve the signal-to-noise ratio. If you apply that to a rather low frequency, 160 meter, 80 meter, it becomes not terribly useful because most of the noise that you're dealing with in the low bands are part of the signal itself, and they get boosted along with it. So depending upon what frequency range you're interested in, a low-noise preamplifier can be a very useful device, not only for a software-defined radio, but even with a legacy-defined radio. The trick, though, that you have to keep in mind with a software-defined radio is that you can overdrive the analog-to-digital converter, and that just generates a lot of noise and nonsense. So you have to... Sometimes it requires the use of an attenuator. Sometimes it requires the use of a low-noise preamplifier. You pretty much have to know what your signal looks like before you decide. Well, you can try one and the other until something sounds good to you.
Okay. I just wanted to know if it's worth it to try or not such a thing. Some people say that at the same time that I'm going to, raise the signal, but the loss of noise will come together with it. So probably it's a matter of testing and trying and see what comes out from it. So basically, on a general, you are not against it, but might be good results according to the band or not, depending. That's what I understood. Back to you, Roy.
Kilo Golf to Charlie.
Axel, that's pretty much the gist of it. It really depends upon the band. It depends upon the quality of the radio. The only thing that a preamplifier will do is decrease the noise percentage, the signal-to-noise, increase the signal-to-noise ratio when most of the noise is built into the electronics that you're using. If the signal itself has most of the noise in itself. Amplifying the signal will simply amplify the noise, and you'll be stuck with the same signal-to-noise ratio that you started with. If anyone else has any comments on this or opinions, please let me know.
Kilo Golf to Charlie. Kilo Golf to Charlie.
Yes, Milan, did something happen?
Oh, I wanted to make a comment, but I didn't hear you say anything back after.
Please, comment away.
Okay, thank you. I just wanted to offer an alternative explanation of the same thing that Roy has. I'm not disagreeing with Roy. I just want to phrase it differently in case that is helpful. A low noise amplifier, or any amplifier really, in the path between your antenna and your radio, what it does is it increases the signal that comes from the antenna. Now, you have the useful part of the signal, which is someone's voice or data, but also along with that signal, there is some atmospheric noise that comes from the antenna. Those two just get increased together because that's part of the same signal. You are increasing all of it. Now, the part that becomes important here, depending on the frequency, on higher frequencies, you have more noise in your equipment. So that way, if you have increased the signal from the antenna well above the noise from the equipment, you will hear that signal from the antenna better, along with the noise that comes from it. So if that signal is too weak for the frequency you are using and for the antenna and for the radio, then the amplifier will help. And they are very often used on 6 meters, and they're even more often used on 2 meters and above, especially for people doing contesting and DX and stuff like that. Now, on the HF bands, it's not as useful because you don't have as much noise generated in your equipment. So you don't have to overcome the internal noise of your equipment as much. Now, on 10 meters, it can be useful, maybe even on 15, but 20 and longer wavelengths, it becomes usually unnecessary. My experience with my SDR receiver, the SDR Play RSP1 Alpha, there's always... I have to adjust it differently for every band, because if I have too much gain with the internal gain control, I will overdrive some signals and they will look like they're splattering across the band when they're not really splattering across the band. And if you have too little gain, the signal might not be strong enough. So, as Roy said, it depends on the frequency, it depends on the equipment that you're using, the receiver, and it depends on the antenna and the signal strength. I hope that also helps explain things. We'll go to Charlie, back to net.
Thank you very much, Milan. I think that was a great explanation, and I hope Axel now understands unfortunately, there's no absolutes in this world, and even twice over with amateur radio. It depends upon a whole bunch of different factors. So once again, if anyone else has any particular comments about this this subject of low noise preamplifiers, please push that little push to talk button and say your piece. Okay, then I will ask if anyone else has any particular questions or comments for the TechNet tonight. Okay, by the way, I figured out what my personal problem was. My software had misadjusted the squelch settings on my radio that I record this, so a certain level of signal would be triggered, but below that it wouldn't. So I've sort of fixed that, but I still will need Milan to send over a copy of the earlier portion of this. So, once again, does anyone have any questions or comments for the technical net tonight?
Give a go to Charlie.
Off to the TechNet puzzle. TechNet puzzle is published, there's no illustrations, it's all text, and it's rather straightforward. There are no tricks to this question. The question is, from where in a receiver's stages is the automatic gain control usually obtained? And your choices are the detector, the first intermediate frequency stage, the preamplifier, or the attenuator. So would anyone like to step up to the bar and suggest what they think the answer to tonight's TechNet puzzle might be? Bueller? Bueller? Once again, Anyone want to play? Not that difficult. Receiver stage, automatic gain control. We use it every day so that we don't lose things in the background noise or they don't blast our head in. It's a nice little feedback mechanism where the RF gain is adjusted on the basis of the output signal. And there's a nice little feedback mechanism so that if the feedback, if the output stage is reading low, it boosts up the amplification, and if it's high, it knocks down the amplification. So once again, the possible stages that it can get its signal from is either A, the detector, B, the first intermediate frequency, C, the preamplifier stage, or D, the attenuator. Anyone want to make a guess?
KC2, WTA.
Yes, Joe.
I'll say answer A, the detector. Back to that.
And you would be quite correct, Joe. Obviously, you need to get an idea of the signal strength. The attenuator isn't going to give you a signal strength. It attenuates the signal. The preamplifier might give you something, but not a heck of a lot. The first intermediate frequency might give you a little something. But the best place to look at the final signal, obviously, would be in the detector stage where it's being reduced to an audio frequency signal that's much easier to adjust the previous RF gain mechanisms with. So the answer, as Joe stated, is the detector is usually a receiver stage where the automatic gain control gets its initial value to adjust the amplification at earlier stages. So that's our question for this week, and in a half hour or so, I will put up the question for the next time, which will have to do with Yagi antennas. So anyone who's interested in Yagi antennas, stay tuned for next time. TechNet Puzzle. Okay, this is Alpha Charlie 2 Golf Sierra with Kings County Radio Club Technical Net. Does anyone else tonight have any questions or answers or comments or statements for the Technical Net? Okay, we'll give it one more try before we fold it up for tonight. If anyone has any questions or answers or statements or comments or what have you for the Technical Net, please hit the little push-to-talk button and say your piece. Okay, Doc. This net has been brought to you by the Kings County Radio Club. Our club is an ARRL-affiliated club based in Brooklyn, New York. We meet on the first Wednesday of each month. Our next meeting will be September 5th, sometime around 7:30. We offer a pre-meeting technical question and answer session, much like this net, from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. as time allows. We have a weekly 2-meter net on every Tuesday at 9 p.m. on this repeater, as well as a 10-meter net every Sunday at 11 a.m. on 28.380 megahertz upper sideband. This technical net meets on the second and fourth Wednesday of each month at 9 p.m. We have a weekly net featuring Yaesu's Fusion Digital Technology every Thursday at 9 p.m. on our club repeater, KC2RC. If you can communicate using Fusion Technology, please join in. We offer an audio stream of the Fusion Net on the Internet at stream.kc2rc.com. Members as well as non-members are welcome to participate, although we do appreciate it when our fellow hams join our club. An application is available on our website. If you would like to contact the host of this technical net, simply address your email to tech@kc2rc.com. We maintain an active website at www.kingscountyradioclub.com or www.kc2rc.com, which offer archives of this technical net, amateur radio news, original articles, and technical forums. Please visit our website and participate. Our website services were generously donated by the local Brooklyn-based web hosting company, 3 Alien Web Hosting, who we would like to thank. As the great philosopher Jimi Hendrix once said, knowledge speaks, but wisdom listens. So try to listen more and talk a wee bit less. So Well, it's time to roll this all up and shut this all down for now, but we'll be back to do it again August 22nd, and you're all welcome to join us. Thanks to all the people that participated tonight, and especially to Malen, KG2C. Without you guys, I'd just be talking to myself, so this is Roy, AC2GS, going clear and getting the heck out of here. Until next time, guys.